Hey there, everybody. It is August the 25th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I am Ken Schneck. You're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're also listening to us alongside all the other fine podcasts found at clickexpose.com, as well as always, broadcasting with pride worldwide on qnation.fm. I am joined this week again with Jody.
Hi.
Look at you, 2 weeks in a row.
I know. It's pretty amazing. Impressive. Yeah.
Last week, you were not married. This week, you are married.
Yeah. Well, last week, I was civilly united, and yes. Now I'm married.
Now you're married in Vermont.
Yes.
How different do you feel?
Not very.
Okay. You look different. You look taller.
Really?
Yeah, you
look the chair,
Okay, it could be. It could be the chair. All right, you ready to jump into some fun stuff?
Yes.
So 365gay.com, have you ever looked on that site? It's a fun little site.
I don't think I have.
They have a lot of different news stories. And they also have an Ask the Expert column, and they get different experts. And this week's expert was Kirsten Palladino, who is the editor-in-chief of Equally Wed, the nation's premier same-sex wedding magazine, which I've never even seen.
Me neither.
You see, I don't want you to get the magazine because then you're going to be like, oh, Jen, we got to do it again. Because I read page 60 and they said 4-tiered cakes.
Instead of three.
I'm just saying. So this was the question. So someone wrote in and said, I'm thinking of taking my partner's last name after we marry, but some of our friends have been giving me a hard time about this. The gays say I'm trying to conform to a heterosexual world, and the straights say name changing is antiquated. All I want to do is show the world that me and my hubby are a family now, a united front. Which, by the way, if your name change indicates that you're a united front, that's a really odd phrase. But anyway, where do you stand on this? So before I tell you what Kirsten Palladino said, where do you stand on this? Have you guys ever talked about name changing?
We did, actually.
We should say that you and your partner have different last names.
We do. We talked about it really early on, before the Civil Union, and we both really liked our last names.
Okay.
Just how our whole names together sound, and who we are with those last names. And when we tried to come up with, well, what if we were mine, all mine, or all yours? We kind of started feeling uncomfortable. Like, oh, that doesn't feel right. I don't know if we like that. And then we talk about the hyphenated thing, and that just got unwieldy because the last names were too long.
Who's got room on a form for that?
Seriously. So we didn't want to do that. And then we thought, well, what if we mushed them together and created a new last name? And that just was very silly, and we didn't want to do that either.
Now, let's say hypothetically, you get home in about an hour, and through whatever circumstance, a child was left on your doorstep that you and Jen are now adopting. What would you do for that child's last name?
We would probably end up hyphenating for the poor child, because that would be the only thing we could come up with. The other thing that I kind of like is when folks generally, and this goes for any kind of couple, and I've seen it happen a few times, when they both people give up both their last names and create a totally new last name. Yeah. Like, just pick something that's just not either person's, but something that they just really like, that they choose together. And I think that's really cool. We just didn't want to go there either, because, again, we really liked our last names. And the association with our families, as complicated as families are, we didn't really want to give up who we are with our family. So we just decided, well, we know who we are together.
Right.
So
Andrew and I we've never talked about changing one of our last names. The conversation that comes up all the time is with this child, wherever this child may be, when they end up on our doorstep, what will the child's last name be?
And
we've been all over the map because we both want the child to have our last name. And
of course,
my gosh, our two last names hyphenated.
That's long.
It's just too long.
Then
people have said, well, combine them. Because my last name is Schneck. Andrew's last name is Semigram. So Semischneck.
Schnemogram?
Semek. Schneckogram.
Schneckogram sounds like some kind of thing you get on Valentine's Day.
I think that would be good. No, but I did know. I had met someone a few years back, who her and her partner had changed their last names to Rainbow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I should tell you. So Kirsten, Palladino said, quote, as someone who changed her last name after marrying her partner, I fully support changing your name to match this. Him taking yours, you hyphenating your names, or even forming a new last name. It's entirely up to you. While I can appreciate what your friends are saying, you're not conforming to a heterosexual or outdated world. You're merely taking part in society as you see fit for you and your family. The definition of family, Jody, is certainly changing, and couples with different last names are everywhere, but that doesn't mean that you have to take part in that. And also, if you're describing yourself as a united front, you have other problems. Okay, that was
I was like, really?
It just sounds like you're preparing for war. And that's a little...
Well, it is a little...
We're about to be attacked. Same last name, united front.
Yeah. I don't. Maybe they're making battle shields.
They might be.
And they really needed one thing to put on them, because if they had something that was too long, it wouldn't look very good and people couldn't read it. Nice. So maybe that's it. Maybe they really are like going.
Jody does Renaissance fairs. Anyway.
Used to. So,
you see that in the past for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I still visit, but I haven't done fair in over 2 years.
Well, speaking, and that's F-A-I-R-E.
Correct.
Always. Yes. Speaking of gay marriages, a little bit of news. A retired Presbyterian minister is facing a church trial. This was actually all over the gay wires. Was facing a church trial for performing weddings of gay couples during the brief period when same-sex marriage was legal in California. The Reverend Jane Spar has been accused of publicly, intentionally, and repeatedly violating church doctrine when she presided at the weddings of 16 couples between June and November of 2008. 11 of the couples are expected to testify as witnesses at the trials scheduled to start Tuesday. I hope they're not testifying against her. That would not be good.
That would be bad.
And it's the second time that 67-year-old Spar has faced sanctions from the Presbyterian Church. A regional church court convicted her in 2007 for marrying two lesbian couples, but the church's top court later acquitted her, saying the ceremonies were not real marriages. Well, that's kind of a it's kind of a double-edged sword there, isn't it?
Yeah,
hey, I was acquitted.
Those aren't
real.
Yeah.
My bad. All right, on that note, we're going to play a little music for you. Enjoy.
I feel I can't say.
So do you know Jill and Tracy Harrison?
No, not off the top of my
head. They are our sister lesbians in Bedford, Texas.
Oh.
They were not allowed to enroll their daughter, Olivia, in the St. Vincent's School there in Bedford, Texas.
Mm.
In June, the Harrisons applied to enroll Olivia in the school. On the application, they crossed out the word father and instead indicated that Olivia has two mothers.
Mm-hmm.
When the mothers attended parents' night on Tuesday, yesterday, just a week before the first day of school, they were told that Olivia could not enroll in school because their mothers were a lesbian couple. Said Jill, quote, "I am horribly disappointed. In fact, we are in the 21st century and we are still dealing with this issue. We should just move on. Denying my daughter's education based on who I end up sleeping with at the end of the day makes me furious. The school is associated with the Anglican Church, a change since it recently parted its ties with the Episcopal Church."
Oh.
So here's the thing. The comments in this, because this story comes up quite often.
Mm-hmm.
It's been coming up with increasing regularity. And the comments always say the same thing. Well, why would you even try to enroll your student in such a school? To which Jody says,
if that's the place that you want to enroll your kid, you should be able to.
But you probably know it's not going to be a welcoming environment.
But if it's okay, let's say, I mean, I don't know what that neighborhood's like. But
you've not been to Bedford, Texas.
I have not, at least not recently, okay. Not in my recent memory. Let's say that you have very few choices for good schools because you're in an impoverished area. So you've got choice A, which is elementary school that's kind of not good. The support for it is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, it's really struggling. The class sizes are too large. The teachers are really overworked. You've heard about all of this. It's not a great environment. Mm-hmm. The building is looking really bad. It's like on the verge of not being an approved school. Okay. Another option, similar. This option being one of the few private schools in the area that's close enough to commute to, it has a good reputation for being safe, mm-hmm. for turning out very intelligent students who do well as they go on into junior, I don't know how many grades there are in the school, but junior high or middle school or whatever. That's where you're going to want to send your kid.
Do you want to send them there after the school? So I agree. All these are reasons why you will try to enroll your kid in that school. What is the reaction after the school says, hey, no, you're two women. Would you still want your child to go to that school? Would you fight for it? I would roll over.
I think it depends on what battle you want to pick.
Yeah.
And then also, what is the rest of the community? What are the rest of the parent community like?
Right.
Like, so if you talk to them, if you know any of them, say you have some friends who are in the parent community and you tell them and they're outraged on your behalf.
Yeah.
Then you have a bunch of allies who are going to rally and it's going to really take root as, hey, we're going to create some change because we are not happy that you treated our friends this way and treated their daughter this way. That's, forget it. You can't do that. We're not going to allow it. Or if the parents are like, we're not going to deal with, we don't know you, we shun you.
Right.
What are your priorities? I mean, it's going to take a lot of time and attention away from you being a family. It's going to turn into this big political battle. And do you really want to do that? Me personally, I probably wouldn't. If I don't have support from other parents and I don't have a lot of allies, it's going to be a lose-lose situation for me. I'm going to be exhausted and disappointed at the end of the day. And I'd rather go somewhere where my kid is going to get an education. I'm going to feel welcome. We're going to feel welcome, even if it is going to be a bit of a hike to get there or more expensive or whatever. But if there is that opportunity, like other parents are feeling similarly, saying, hey, that's no way. We're not going to allow that in our town. This is the 21st century and this is stupid. Then that's an opportunity that I think that if they're ready for it, they could take that.
Can I go meta for a second?
Sure.
I want to go meta for a second.
All right.
Do you have these conversations
with
out and about?
Sometimes, I do.
I don't feel like I do. I feel like I have them here on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. But I find that I don't really have these conversations out and about, and I kind of want to have them more. I like going out to dinner and having these conversations and not me complaining about work and whatnot. And the other day I was with two colleagues And I feel like we started to have this conversation, not about this. This was about a movie that you and I saw together.
Oh, yes.
About The Kids Are All Right.
Yes, and which it, I just talked about on my way into the studio tonight.
Oh, how funny. And, yeah. And it quickly, the conversation got uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And I wanted to keep going, but I also, there was this level at which I'm like, oh, look, we're actually talking about this. And
right.
Because one of my colleagues, a straight colleague, was saying, well, I don't understand why it's classified as a gay movie. And I just said, well, that's a luxury of being straight. We don't, we need gay movies because we don't really have gay characters in other films.
Right.
So I'm fine with this being characterized as a gay movie.
Right.
But I think, again, taking a step back, I want to have these conversations more.
Okay.
I'm not having them enough.
All right.
I think it's important to know if me and my friends are presenting a united front.
I think we all need to change our names to Schneckagram then.
That would be awesome. It's kind of like in Westchester, where we used to live, there was almost all of the elected officials were named Spano. There is a family. I think it's 14 or 15 brothers, and they all hold public office in Westchester and Yonkers.
Oh, wow.
And so I want that to happen. I want the Brattleboro Select Board to be all Schneckagrams.
Wow.
Valentine's Day would be amazing.
It would be pretty amazing.
Schneckagrams for everyone. Did I tell you, there were stories out about the big victories for LGBT candidates yesterday and some that where they lost. But it was not, what was not covered was one of the biggest political appointments for LGBT candidates. The Victory Fund didn't cover it at all. I was appointed as the Brattleboro fence viewer last week. And I don't think that that got nearly enough coverage. That's a huge victory for gay candidates everywhere.
Especially for fence viewing candidates.
I'm the fence viewer.
Yes.
If someone calls and says, this tree fell on my property, and the other person says, but it's not my tree, and they call me, they're going to get a gay perspective. And that's something that wasn't there before.
You're absolutely right.
And I think it's important for people to keep in mind that we're in Vermont. It's a big deal. I'm going to play another song. Just putting that out there. Enjoy. Sooner or Later. That's a song you know?
I've heard it a few times,
yeah. I didn't know that song.
Like one of those on the way to the country fair in the car.
Is that F-A-I-R-E?
No E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really no, this was when I was little in Connecticut.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, been to Nepal lately?
Not lately.
Good place to be. Kathmandu provided the setting today, August 25th, for the first International Gay Pride Parade in Nepal.
That is cool.
It's very cool, which drew 2,000 participants from as far away as Japan and Norway. According to the Canadian press, the celebration was led by Sunil Pant, a parliament member and the country's most prominent gay activist. The parade, which called for an end to all discrimination, took place as LGBT rights have improved markedly in Nepal, a tourism economy that hopes to attract gay travelers. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go to Nepal. So they're,
that sounds pretty cool.
They're looking for us to travel there.
Nice.
On the opposite side, the Uganda stuff just doesn't, it doesn't end.
Oh, dear.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And I think it's on the cover of The Advocate this week. It might be. This story that I talked about a few weeks back called Dangerous Liaisons. I just feel like that's the only way to say that word. Just about how bad it is in Africa right now and how some folks don't even have a sense of how bad it is.
Right.
So Uganda's anti-homosexuality bill, it was introduced by parliament member, so this is the key guy, David Bahati, in October of 2009. The bill seeks to eradicate homosexuality from Uganda and become a model for the rest of Africa. So on The Advocate, there's a story about this investigative journalist, Jeff Charlotte. And he just traveled again to Uganda, and he met with David Bahati. And this was from the reporter. He said, quote, Bahati said, if you come here, you'll see homosexuals from Europe and America are luring our children into homosexuality by distributing cell phones and iPods and things like this. And he said, and I can explain to you what I really want to do. This is what Bahati would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
He accompanied him to a restaurant, the reporter, and later to his home, where Bahati told Charlotte that he wanted to, quote, kill every last gay person. This is a prominent parliament guy. And this was a quote from the investigative journalist, Charlotte. Quote, it was a very chilling moment because I'm sitting there with this man who's talking about his plans for genocide and has demonstrated over the period of my relationship with him that he's not some backbender. He's a real rising star in the movement. This was something that I hadn't understood before I went to Uganda, that this was a guy with real potential and real sway and increasingly a following in Uganda. This is real.
That is really scary.
It gets press here in the U.S. as, oh, it's this fringe thing, and there are these random radicals in the U.S. that are traveling over to Uganda and stirring the pot. But no, this is a prominent parliament. This is what's going through the parliament right now. It's crazy.
It is. That is very, very scary.
What do you do?
I think we share the stories more.
Yeah.
I think frequently Americans have this really limited sense of what goes on in Africa. Indeed. And unfortunately, I don't think that we cover Africa enough in school.
No.
And it still happens even to more educated kids. They sometimes forget that Africa is in fact a continent and not a country.
Yes.
And that all the places in Africa are not just states. They are, in fact, separate countries.
I would drop everything and move there tomorrow. I really would. I would go back to Uganda tomorrow.
And risk genocide?
Don't you think it should count as genocide if just I get killed? Just want to put that out there.
Well, it would actually, because there will be no schneckagrams.
Exactly.
So it's preemptive genocide.
I represent such a united front that were I just to be killed, I think it would be considered.
Or at least schneckicide.
So the question is, would I risk murder? I don't know. I mean, I think the other problem is I had such an insulated experience when I was in Uganda. And I did and I didn't. I was walking around in villages. In very remote villages. Mm-hmm. I went to a 3.5-hour Pentecostal church service, which, as a gay Jew, I wasn't, but in the same way, we had a guide that was with us at all times.
And, right, right.
And when the big men came with their even bigger guns, metaphor, and actual guns, we had someone who was able to step in.
Right.
Not that they were going to kill the schneckagram, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really would. I kind of want to go back. I was talking about this with a colleague today. I would go back. But I think, again, I would go back because I didn't feel unsafe at any point.
Right, right,
now,
right.
Would I go back with Andrew? That I don't know.
That and that's the more important question. Yeah.
I don't know that I would do that. I don't know that I would do that. All right. Yeah. I'm going to play another song. This is one of Jody's favorite songs. Enjoy.
Shoes to pack, just the sound of you and my guitar. 'Cause I can't wait till the day you come around and say those summer nights are here to stay. And we can run far away, not tell a soul for a day. Carry me, oh, freedom's delight. 'Cause I've spent times locked in grooves, trapped in mama's old black shoes, and my papa's books and friends. Always wanted a way just to have my own say, and walk the untried path till the end. I can't wait till the day you come running to say those summer nights are here to stay. And we can run far away, not tell a soul for a day. Carry me, oh, freedom's light.
Was Girly Man singing Kittery Tide? You got nervous.
Well, I didn't know what you were playing.
So, did you think I was going to be facetious and play a song that actually you hated? But you love Girly Man.
I do love Girly Man. I think I'm a little, at least a New England groupie. I try to see them whenever they're in the area.
People should absolutely check out Girly Man. And they just released an album, and you're totally wrong. They released an album of... So one of the things about their live shows is they do little tuning songs. When someone is taking too long to tune at a live show, someone else in the group, usually Nate, makes up a silly, funny tuning song. So they just released an album of all tuning songs. It's $15, and there are a lot of them, but they're very short.
Yes, they're all like 30 seconds or something.
So just putting that out there. Girly Man, you can go to girlyman.com. More stories out there. We don't talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell a lot. on this show. We hadn't talked about it a lot. How do you, is that something you're passionate about?
I would really like to see it go away.
Okay.
It's, since I work mostly with youth,
yeah,
it's not something, and I work in substance abuse prevention, it's not something that comes up in my everyday radar. But when I see it, if I'm going onto Yahoo and I see something, then, oh, right, yes,
it's not
that.
My battle.
No, and I don't really have a connection to the military either.
Right.
I don't have any close friends right now. And any of my family, they've been out of the military for a while. So it isn't something that I think about all the time. Although when I was down on a military base recently for training,
indeed,
I was thinking about it.
Right.
Because I was looking around at all of the, who's here. And this is a National Guard training site. Down in Pennsylvania. And so it's folks coming for intensive trainings for all sorts of things. And so I was looking around like, who's here? What are they, who are they? You know, to putting the gaydar on and
right,
seeing who I see. And they were definitely, unless my gaydar is way off, definitely, some sister lesbians down there who were,
what if there was don't ask, don't tell in the ranks of the knights at the medieval fair?
That would be really impossible because everyone is so out about who they are,
yeah,
in fair, at least after hours, not during.
I love that you call it fair.
Yeah, capital F.
I don't have time to call it a Renaissance or medieval fair. It's just fair.
Or Ren Fair. It could be Ren Fair for folks who don't know exactly what I mean by fair.
I'll post pictures on the website. This show is sogay.com. Of Jody in her knight's garb. Is that okay?
Sure. They exist. They're out there. They're definitely out there.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, it was cute that I asked for permission, but I'll just take them off your Facebook. So anyway, back to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Among the 44 questions, now I didn't know this. I knew that they put a survey out there and they're waiting to get these surveys back. And many people have said the surveys are problematic and it's sent to all the active service folks. But they also, there's a survey of 150,000 military spouses. Which I did not know.
Interesting.
And this is one of the questions on that survey, one of the 44 questions, quote, let's say it's question 6.
Okay.
Assume Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed and you live in on-base housing. If a gay or lesbian service member lived in your neighborhood with their partner, would you stay on base or would you try to move out?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty. Question 7, please agree with us that you don't like gay people? ? ... I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Wow.
Service members United Executive Director Alexander Nicholson called some of the questions insulting and derogatory. No freaking kidding.
Yeah.
Question 8. Lesbians. Bad? ? And there wasn't any other option. The answers were yes. And that was it.
Or all of the above.
Or all of the above. answers. So there you go. And then this was kind of interesting. So there's this guy named Michael Lucas who, I was going to say, I'd be shocked if you knew who that was, but then I'm thinking about the kids are all right. And it's kind of funny. So Michael Lucas is a porn entrepreneur.
Okay.
So you don't know him.
Nope.
Okay. And he also writes a column for The Advocate. And this was in his commentary that I think was put out there today. This, well, I'm going to read straight from it. It's time for the gay community to change its Facebook status from in a relationship with Democrats to single. With the latest CNN polls finding that a slight majority of Americans now support same-sex marriage, it is time for us to accept that some of the people who used to be our enemies have become allies, or at least potential friends. I'm talking about conservatives. And then he goes on to say that we really need to embrace Ann Coulter. Now, what you couldn't see on the radio, because this is a radio show and it's, so it's not visual in
right,
that way,
mm-hmm,
was that when I said that, Jody's face, it actually fell.
Yeah, I'm actually putting it back on right now.
Yes. Not so much with the embracing of Ann Coulter?
Not so much.
Because, you know, the whole thing with Ann Coulter right now, did you read about this, is that she was supposed to speak at some crazy conservative, and I mean, I don't mean crazy as clinically certifiable, I just mean deranged, some convention of some sort, and they found out that she was speaking at the GOP, I think it's Geo Proud. I don't think it's GOP Proud. I think it's Geo Proud, and a LGBT GOP group. And they dropped her and said,
"Oh wow,
you're absolutely, you are not invited because you clearly support the gays." And she made it clear, said, "No, I don't." But at the same token, oh, it was a gesture, and so we should embrace her. So you're not so much agreeing with porn entrepreneur and advocate columnist Michael Lucas.
Not really. But I do agree that there are certainly conservative folks out there who are not necessarily conservative about LGBT stuff. They're conservative. Right. They're more fiscally conservative. They're more foreign policy conservative. They're more conservative about whatever else you can be conservative about, but not about that particular social issue.
How'd the woman that we talked about last week, the New Hampshire woman, how'd she do?
I actually don't know. I saw her signs everywhere today when I was driving from Concord.
Well, the Attorney General of Florida, who we had talked about previously on the show, he lost his primary. So that's here it is. McCollum. Let me tell you about McCollum. It's taking a little bit. Political newcomer Rick Scott has scored a narrow win in the Florida Republican gubernatorial primary over State Attorney General Bill McCollum. Bill McCollum is the gent who in 2008 hired a now disgraced ex-gay advocate as an expert witness in gay adoption trial. Becca and I covered this a few weeks back, that he went so far as to say it's not just that gays shouldn't be able to adopt, which they can't in Florida, but they shouldn't allow to be foster parents either. So I'm not saying this is why he lost, but whoop, he lost. So that's good.
Yeah.
Now, this is another interesting one because this is a new trend as well that we're seeing a lot of stories about this. A federal judge in Georgia has refused to block the expulsion of an Augusta State University student who said she would be unable to counsel gay people in a values-neutral manner, which is required of all students in the school's master's-level counseling program. The student, Jennifer Keaton, contends that being forced to remain neutral on the subject of homosexuality violates her free speech and religious rights. A judge in Michigan also ruled in a university's favor in a similar case last month. Let me make the case for Jennifer Keaton for a second.
Okay.
Jennifer Keaton, who would say, because she's my buddy, I don't know, who would say, look, if someone came to me and said, would you be my therapist? I'm gay. And she would say, you know, listen, thank you so much. But I don't think that I could be impartial on this because it's not consistent with my beliefs. And I don't think that I could be your therapist.
I think if she left out the consistent with the beliefs part and just said, I think I would have a conflict of interest, that's fine. Because that would be professional rather than being insulting to the person in front of you. I'd be willing to go back and ask my wife about this since that's her profession. Mm-hmm. But
we can call her.
I think she's home now. Okay. And even in the profession that I'm in, which is in prevention, in the ethics, you are supposed to be culturally competent so that you are not going to be disrespectful of any cultural difference whatsoever, regardless of your own feelings. And I'm pretty sure that in clinical situations, it's the same thing. So I would say if she left out the inconsistent with my beliefs and said, I would have a conflict of interest, I think that would be fine. But the inconsistent with my beliefs, that's not going to be okay. And I think it's unprofessional.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to play a Melissa Etheridge song.
Okay.
We're going to get an expert witness on the phone.
Awesome.
Okay, here we go.
I'm watching you sleep. It's the promise you made. What I find I can keep. Oh, I want to swallow the moon. Give a smile back to you, lighting your way. Tell the angels they'll just have to wait. 'Cause I want. Thank you. watching you breathe. I am pulled into you as you smash into me. Oh, I want to give you the stars, all that I can hold in my arms, placing them where you lay. Tell the angels they'll just have to wait, 'cause I want to stay here in this moment. Can I quietly slip into you? You and I can stay here in this moment. Let the world.
Okay, let's return to the topic at hand.
Okay.
I would like to introduce an expert witness. Expert witness, please state your name for the record.
It's Jen.
Okay, hello, Jen. Expert witness, please state your qualifications for the record.
For the record, I am a substance abuse clinician.
Okay.
And also trained as a mental health counselor.
Well, caller Jen, expert witness, a federal judge in Georgia has refused to block the expulsion of a counseling student who was very upfront. She said, I'm not able to counsel gay people in a values-neutral manner. I can't do it. And she was honest, and she was upfront, and we expelled her.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of the things that definitely is part of the ethics of most mental health, you know, counseling programs is that if you're not able to perform the duties, you know, so if you're not able to counsel gay people in a, you know, neutral fashion, that you probably should, you're operating outside the bounds of your ability to practice. So you should probably not be doing that.
Wait, but not be counseling, period, or just not be counseling gay people?
No, you shouldn't be counseling gay people. You might be great with somebody who is, you know, something else, you know, or a different kind of population.
Okay, because she contends, our buddy Jennifer Keaton, do you know her?
I don't.
But she's a counselor, too.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Okay. I just figured all counselors knew each other.
We really don't.
Well, actually, she didn't finish. She got expelled. So that's probably, if she hadn't been expelled, you probably would have met her.
That's very true.
She contends that being forced to remain neutral on the subject of homosexuality violates her free speech and religious rights. So to confirm, if she were in an appointment with a gay person, you're saying it perhaps would not be appropriate for her to say, I disapprove of your lifestyle.
Yes. And so she would say, you know, I foresee a conflict with working with you, and I can recommend you work with somebody else. But I sense that this, you know, whatever she can, and she doesn't have to specifically say that, but she can just say, you know, I think that there's going to be a conflict with us working together, and I think I should refer you to somebody else.
Which is what I said.
Okay, yes, fine, you agree, you're married. But it's great. Now, I guess maybe I'm not understanding the full story here, so I might have to do a little more back research on this. But I would imagine, and hopefully this doesn't compromise your
integrity or your professional relationships, caller. But I'm sure people sit in the chair. Do they? They don't actually lay on a couch in your office, do they?
They don't. My office is not big enough for a couch.
Okay. Oh, that's sad. I'm sure people sit on the chair in your office and they say things that you're thinking in your head. Well, gosh, I disagree with that.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay. So I guess maybe her thing was, she put out there that she would not only be incapable of being values neutral, but she would actually say, perhaps, to her clients, well, okay, and you should deal with that, but being gay is bad.
Right, and if she said that, then that is definitely violating the ethics kind of code of her profession.
Okay.
She should not be saying that.
Okay. Now, in a similar vein, and by that I mean a completely different topic, we discussed earlier on the show whether or not couples should take the same last name post-marriage. Your thoughts, caller?
I think you should go ahead and hyphenate it if you want, but I really don't think it's a big deal either way. Keep your name, change it to something else. I mean, don't change it to something stupid. Like, if you're going to go with a totally different last name, then make it be something that makes sense, not something you just kind of pulled out of a hat.
What do you think about the last name Schneckagram?
I think it's terrible. A joke, but if you guys ever really did that, I would, like, I don't know what I would do.
What do you think about the last name Semischneck?
Same thing.
Okay. Now, Jody, who I think you know, she actually looks taller this week.
Does she?
Post-marriage.
Well, she's been doing a lot of Pilates.
Okay, there you go. Do you feel any different post-marriage?
This is a trick question.
I don't know. It depends what you answer.
I'm glad we did it again. I mean, you know, we had our whole civil union thing a few years ago, and we decided we'd, you know, go through with the new marriage thing, and the whole gay marriage thing, you know, like, what's her name? Helen Beck Hasselbeck was talking about last week. No, I mean, I'm just happy. I mean, we have a great relationship, and I think, of course, it kind of goes ebbs and flows, but I'm just as happy to marry her the second time as I was the first time.
All right. And there for expert testimony on both counseling and relationships. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Thank you, my wife.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Seems like a nice lady.
Yeah, you know.
Seems like a nice lady.
She's pretty good.
So some Bush aid is coming out.
Oh, goody.
I think it actually already happened.
Oh,
It's breaking news, and it's a really big deal. Ken Mellman, President Bush's 2004 campaign manager. So I guess that's a big deal.
Okay.
Oh, well, and the former Republican National Committee chairman. Oh, I guess that is a big deal.
Oh.
He has come out in an interview with The Atlantic. Blogger Mike Rogers, who has outed gay politicians. This is Mike Rogers' thing. He outs politicians.
Oh.
Who has outed gay politicians who have taken anti-gay stands, announced Wednesday that Mark Ambinder would interview Mellman, who was in the forefront of George W. Bush's 2004 reelection campaign, and which was accompanied, of course, by a spate of state ballot initiatives to constitutionally ban marriage equality. And I guess what I need to see in the story, and I'm not seeing right now, is whether or not he has espoused any anti-gay views himself, this gentleman who's coming out. But Mellman has, this is his quote, "It's taken me 43 years to get comfortable with this part of my life. Everybody has their own path to travel, their own journey. And for me, over the past few months, I've told my family, friends, former colleagues, and current colleagues, and they've been wonderful and supportive. The process has been something that's made me a happier and better person. It's something I wish I had done years ago." Aww. That's, I guess,
well, good for him.
He's a pretty prominent Republican.
Hmm.
So that's a big deal. And let's see, what else? Oprah Sheff got married.
Okay.
That so doesn't affect you, does it?
No.
I love the Oprah. I should lend you the 6 discs of the Oprah show. There's this whole 20th anniversary thing.
Okay.
I haven't watched it in, I mean, I haven't watched it now in, God, it's been like 3 or 4 days. I really did. I popped it in the other day and it was so enjoyable. Art Smith, the award-winning chef who worked in Oprah's kitchen for 10 years. That's a claim to fame. That's how great that is. tied the knot with his longtime partner Saturday. Hey, Saturday, just like you, after dragging guests. Except this is funny. He tied the knot with his longtime partner Saturday after dragging guests on a 4-mile run through Washington, D.C. to the Lincoln Memorial. Let me thank you right here for not making your guests run.
No, in fact, we had shuttle cars for everyone.
And more desserts that I'm not going to lie, still a little nauseous.
It was a lot of dessert.
Still a little nauseous.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really nice moment in your wedding on Saturday when the officiator, who is he a bishop, I think, right? He's some sort of...
No, oh. But...
I think he's a bishop. I'll look that up.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when Bishop Gensler, he said at the end and in front of the eyes of whoever and the state of Vermont.
By the laws of the state of Vermont, yes.
Pause. And it was a really nice moment. So I thought the bishop did well. Well, I don't know.
He was excellent. He was very good. We knew he would be, which is why we asked him to do it.
He's very good.
Yeah, he is very good.
Sad news out of, and sometimes, you know, tragedy just kind of happens and it sucks. Out of Detroit, the Detroit REC Boys Center, a gay youth center and organization for HIV prevention, was ravaged by an electrical fire just the other day. And it destroyed counseling and testing supplies, as well as what was for some a home away from home.
Oh.
And I tell everyone this because it's so important that if you have a couple extra dollars that you want to help support. You want to help support. So for this one, you would go to donations.aidspartnership.org. And you would just search for the REC Boys, B-O-Y-Z. And REC stands for Real Enough to Change. It's funded by the CDC. And it's considered one of the nation's best HIV prevention programs. Programming targets African-American males ages 13 to 24 who engage in sex with other men and focuses on outreach, in-center facilitated discussion groups, and publicity. So if you have a couple extra dollars, you should help them out because that's really important. And then there have been... This is what's so crazy. Death threats. So New York State Senator Shirley Huntley, who is running for re-election, says she will not be deterred by death threats she says she's received from marriage equality supporters. The threat, which read, "Rest in peace," came on a note attached to a bouquet of flowers found on her doorstep August 10th. She initially said she didn't know the root cause of the threat, but her latest mailer to voters... Now, see, how does she really know this? Her latest mailer to voters claims it originated from people who live outside of her district and have donated a cumulative $100,000 to her opponent, Lynn Nunes, who has garnered more gay supporters. Huntley, who represents parts of Queens, was one of the 8 Democrats in the New York State Senate to vote against the marriage equality bill in 2009. If you want to be entertained by some of the most messed up politics around, you need to study a little town called Albany. Because over the past 2 years of this show, we have covered how those senators and council members, house people, have really, they, at one point, they locked the doors and they locked people in. It's pretty.
Wow.
It's a little nutty.
That is a little nutty.
And then one more. I'll leave everyone with a very nice story because we like this one. Notre Dame. Over in Notre Dame, student Dane Christ, this is the story. He loves to eat. He volunteers in his spare time, and he will likely replace the University of Notre Dame's starting quarterback. All that, and he's a gay ally. He showed up to practice in July supporting a Stand Against Hate t-shirt. The shirt was from a week on campus dedicated to ending discrimination and harassment against LGBT students. And there are just a ton of really great stories just about how, look, this is someone who Jody and I can get out there and we can beat the bushes and pound the pavement and try to make this world safer and safer and safer and have some effect. But we still won't be able to reach some of the people that Dane Christ, who will likely be the next quarterback at Notre Dame, is able to reach. It's pretty cool, right?
It is really cool, yeah.
I like that story.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Nice.
So just to let people know some cool things about us, you can always, always send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. That's how you reach us. Every single email that we receive, Jody... Mm-hmm. Every single email,
yeah,
it gets answered.
That's awesome.
So this show is so gay at AOL.com. you should stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. And by going over there, you can listen to past shows and you can check out our upcoming guests. And there's some really great upcoming guests, including Kathy Renna, who has been on the show before, and she is one of the nation's leading. She's kind of our guru about, so what's going on with gay visibility these days? So I'm really excited to welcome her back to the show, and some other great people too who are coming up. And as always, you can stroll on over to the Facebook, and by going to the Facebook, you just type in "This Show Is So Gay," and you can join our Facebook group. Are you a member of the "This Show Is So Gay" Facebook group?
I am.
Okay, there was a little pause there. Where I was a little... Do you know if that other lady is a member?
Yes, she is.
The show is so gay. Okay, yes. Good. That's important.
Yeah.
So these are all the ways that you can get in touch. And as always, you should subscribe to our show on iTunes. It is the easiest way to keep abreast of all of This Show Is So Gay. Hey, 2 weeks in a row.
Woohoo.
Did very well.
Thank you.
As always, I thank you for coming back. We're going to be having a rotating cast of guest hosts. I'm really excited about that. So a ton of different perspectives. Jody will be back, correct?
Absolutely.
Good.
I will.
So Jody will be back. We'll have different guest hosts on all the time and all good things. So that's pretty much it from us here in Brattleboro, Vermont. We wish you all the best. We want you to get out there, educate yourself, educate someone else, do what you can do to raise awareness about all the amazing things that are happening. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Growing tired, barely walking, walking over the sweet grave. Winds grew bolder, bruised my shoulder, not much left to say. Sweet and spent out, holy sparrow, singing songs. Outside, when it's colder, we'll feel older, not much left to hide. We are breathing, we are seething, we are hardly underway. We have high hopes, like the old popes, even St. Peter's bones decay.